Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders, if somebody poses a question to us, and if the person asks, have you ever in your life trusted any person, relied upon him, and then you found him to be a liar, you found him to have deceived you, to have cheated you, he let you down, he was disloyal to you, he breached the trust and agreement, in fact he got you into a serious mess, he gets away scot-free, he puts you into serious problems, you were absolutely innocent, and this person lied to you. He was not honest to you. And he put you into a very serious predicament. You suffered various type of difficulties because of this one person who was dishonest to you. The question is, if we have become victims of such a predicament, would any one of us trust such a person again? And the answer is obviously no. So you and I need to now introspect our lives and check. Have we done the same to others? Are we honest? Do we speak lies? Or do we speak truth all the time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly emphasized, commanded the importance of truthfulness. There are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that emphasize the importance of being honest, upright, to be truthful, to be loyal. And therefore in this verse that I have quoted, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهِ, Allah says, O believers, fear Allah, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with those who are truthful. And there is an incident behind the revelation of this verse, inshallah we will try and discuss it. But the point here is that Shariat exhorts us, it not only commands and not only praises those who are truthful and honest, Quran explains to us and describes the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam who had this quality of truthfulness in them. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And this is, according to Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, a most important station for any person who wishes to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, he has mentioned, هو الباب الذي دخل فيه الواصلون إلى حضرة ذي الجلال. This is the door through which people have entered truthfulness, honesty, integrity. We are those who have reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who have gained the love of Allah, all of them have passed through this door of honesty, truthfulness. Shariat emphasizes speaking the truth to such a level then even when we are dealing with our little ones, with our children, then too we are expected and commanded to be absolutely honest to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits some sahaba. So the lady in the house, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had visited us. And I called my little one, my little child. I had closed my fingers. And like how we always do. So she closed the fingers as though she had something in it. And she called the little one, come here. I want to give you something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed this. He asked her, you really have something to give the child? She says, yes, I have a date. Tamra. He says, if you did not have anything, then that will tantamount to a lie to the child. Now these things you and I treat very insignificant. We think we are just jesting and playing with the little child and pretending that we have something, and we call the poor child and then we say, we've got nothing for you. Sharia does not even allow this much. Imagine if the child, we continue speaking lies to the child, making up stories, fabrications. There comes a time in the life of the child when the child now becomes immune to our lies and excuses that we make. So when we really have to teach the child honesty and truthfulness, that child is not going to learn. The very famous story that we all have heard from childhood days of the tarbiyat that the mother of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali made upon him. And she sent him to Baghdad to acquire knowledge. And she gives him 40 dinars, 40 gold coins, and she sews it onto his vest, which is next to his chest. And she tells him, oh my son, my advice is that you should never speak lies. And when he sets forth with the caravan and suddenly it is intercepted on the way, and the robbers come and they question him, what does he have? Little child says, I've got 40 dinars. They do not want to believe him. Little child, he's going to have 40 dinars? Not possible. So the leader of the gang comes. He reprimands him, speak the truth, what do you have? He says, I have 40 dinars. Where is it? And he removes the 40 dinars. And he questions the little child. They tell me, why did you speak the truth? 40 dinar, 40 gold coins. You could have got away. Because we were not going to search you. They had searched the elder ones. They thought he's a little child, he's got nothing. But he spoke the truth. He said, I promised my mother that I will never speak lies. I promised my mother that I will never speak lies. It is mentioned in the books of history that the leader of this gang, he could not believe this. He began to cry. He says, if you are a little child and you are not speaking lies, then I have looted so many caravans and I have spoken so much of lies and I have no trust in Allah. Immediately he makes sincere tawbah. He makes tawbah and he changes his life. There are some very intriguing stories of the past. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which an incident has been mentioned. It's the books of hadith. A person purchases a land. Now let us listen to the story and put ourselves in this situation and see what you and I would have done and see what this purchaser of the land does. He purchases a land, pays the money, so the seller is happy, sells the land, the buyer purchases the land. But when he purchases the land, suddenly he finds a jar of gold coins. As he was digging into the land, he finds a jar of gold coins. Now this is what you call honesty. He goes up to the person, to the seller of the land, he says, brother, this belongs to you. He says, no, it does not belong to me. He says, no, I found it in the land. He says, yes, but I sold you the land. I sold you the property. It's yours. Whatever is in the land, on the land, all belongs to you now. He says, no, it cannot happen. This belongs to you. They actually begin to quarrel. You and I, if it happened to us, we purchase this land and we find this jar of gold coins, we'll keep quiet about it. This person goes up and he insists, no, I have to return this to you. And the seller of the land refuses to take it until they go and they take it to a person who arbitrates. So Allah Ta'ala had given that person a lot of wisdom. He says, okay, tell me, do you have a son? He says, yes. Do you have a daughter? Yes. Get both of them married. Spend from that jar of gold coins upon them. And the remaining, whatever you have, then let them give that as charity. Subhanallah. But look at the honesty the person had. There's an incident at the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And we all know the justice of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He's once seated and suddenly two youngsters come and they drag along another person with them. And they say, Hada, Hada. This is the one. Umar says, what is it? Who is it? What's the matter? He says that this person has killed our father. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala questions this person. Is it true? Have you killed a father? He says, yes. How did you do so? He says, it was a mistake. Actually, what happened was that their father had come with a camel onto my land, and I had repeatedly warned the father, but to no avail. So I took a rock and I hurled it towards the father, and it struck him on his head, and he collapsed and he passed away. So he acknowledges, he admits that he was responsible for this. Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately says, well, now qisas has to be taken from you. In other words, justice demands that now your life will be taken. This is the law of Sharia. You killed that person, so now your life will be taken. He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I agree, no problem. But I've left behind my wife and little children. And I swear by Allah, they've got no food to eat. They've got nothing. Kindly allow me to go there and inform them that this is my plight, this is going to be my fate and condition. Let me make some arrangements for them at least. Umar radiallahu ta'ala agrees to that, but he says, who will stand as a guarantee for you? So he addresses the Sahaba, that who will stand as a guarantee for this person to make sure he comes back after 3 days? Everybody is silent. Nobody knows him. They don't know this person. They do not know from which village he comes, which tribe he comes from. It's a serious matter. The people are silent. Umar radiallahu ta'ala looks at this person. He feels pity for him. He realizes his situation. On one hand, if he pardons him and these two sons, they do not allow, they are not prepared to forgo their right, then they will be deprived of their right. Suddenly he questions the Sahaba again. And Sayyidina Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala stands up. He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will stand as a guarantor for him. Abu Dhar, you know him? No, I do not know him. Abu Dhar, you understand the implications of this? If he does not return, what will happen? Your life will be taken. He says, yes. Wallahu al-Musta'an. Allah's help is sought. This person goes home. 2 days go past. It's the final day. There's no sign of him returning. He's got right till sunset. It is Asr time. Sahaba are panicking. A man like Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala will now lose his life. Who is Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala? It is mentioned, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned in his tafsir, a narration This Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conversing with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam when Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu goes past, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam tells Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Hada Abu Dhar." This Abu Dhar going past. He says, "Do you know him? Do the angels know Abu Dhar?" He says, "He is ashhar fi sama. He is more famous in the sky than in the earth." Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "How come? What's the reason for this?" He says, li sigharihi fi nafsihi. He regards himself to be absolutely humble and insignificant. He has true humility and tawadu. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. And the second reason, he recites Surah al-Ikhlas in abundance. Just another long explanation. But these are the two qualities. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. In one narration it is mentioned, مَا أَظَلَّتِ السَّمَاءُ وَمَا أَقَلَّتِ الْغَبْرَاءُ مِنْ رَجُلٍ ذِي لَهْجَةٍ أَصْدَقْ مِنْ أَبِي ذَرٍ الْغِفَارِ Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sky has not shaded and the earth has not carried any person who is more honest and truthful than Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. This is the man we are talking about. It is almost going to be sunset now. Umar radiallahu anhu looks at Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar, where is he? No sign of him. Last few minutes are left and suddenly this person comes running. So Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, life is spared. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu then asks this person, they tell me, you had every opportunity not to return. Why did you return? He was gone, nobody knew him. Nobody knew which tribe he came from. He was not a relative of any person living there in Medina. So he could have escaped and never came back. And his life would be spared. So Umar asked him, radiallahu anhu, why did you come back? He says, خَشِيْتُ I feared, أَن يُقَالْ It will be said, ذَهَبَ الْوَفَاءُ بِالْعَهْدِ مِنَ النَّاسِ He says, I feared that people will say that there is no honest person living anymore in this world. There is no more honesty and truthfulness. There is only betrayal, disloyalty. I had to honor my promise. I said I will come back. So because of this fear that people will say now, that there is no more honesty and there is no more truthful person left, I came back. Abu Dhar, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, tell me, why did you stand as a guarantor of him? How did you put yourself in your life in? For his sake? He said, O Umar, khashitu an yuqal, I feared that people will say, ذَهَبَ الْخَيْرُ مِنَ النَّاسِ That all khair and good is gone from people. There are no more good people left in this world. Therefore I stood up. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is taken aback. He's moved. He turns to the two youngsters whose father was killed. What do you have to say? He says, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we pardon him. We forgo our rights. Let him go free." Why? He says, "Khashina yuqal." We fear that it will be said, ذهب العفو من الناس. Forgiveness has left the hearts of the people. So respected brothers and elders, truthfulness, honesty, it's a very broad subject, sidq. It's not only to do with our speech, but our actions. Our actions, our honesty, our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the deen of Islam. But we are concentrating today on honesty in speech. I read a story, an article of a person who was a new imam in some town. New imam, traveling by bus. So on one day, one occasion, he boarded the bus, he gives the money to the bus driver, he gets some change, and when he sits on his seat, he realizes that he has been given more change. A few more coins than what he's supposed to have received. Now he thinks to himself, Let me be honest and give this few coins to the person. He's made a mistake. Then he thinks, what's there? Just a few coins. No big deal. In fact, these bus drivers, they collect so much more from others. And they make so many mistakes. So he's busy contemplating what to do. Should I go and just give him those few coins, or should I just remain seated? Nonetheless, the bus reached the bus station, and now he had to alight the bus. So as he came past the bus driver, he takes out these few coins that were given to him as extra change, and he hands it over to the bus driver, saying that you made a mistake, and you gave me these extra coins. Respected brothers and elders, this bus driver then tells him, aren't you the new imam? He says, yes. He says, I heard about you. I'm a non-Muslim, but I have become very interested in accepting Islam. So I heard there's a new imam in the masjid of the Muslims. I wanted to test you out first before I embrace Islam. And he said that this imam, when he comes off the bus, he stands, he holds onto a pole or a tree nearby. His heart is throbbing, he's shaken. He looks up to the sky, Ya Allah, I could have sold this deen of Islam and just thrown it away just for the sake of a few pennies and coins. Can we understand how important it is to be honest, truthful? When we are doing business dealings, and I have given a whole talk on this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a purchaser and a buyer, when they are doing the deal, in bayyana wa sadaqa, if they explain clearly exactly what that product is, and they are honest, they are truthful, and they reveal every fault, whether it's a car, whether it's some appliance, whether it's some merchandise, some goods, some clothing, whatever it is. Two words. Bayyana wa sadaqa. They are honest, they explain exactly, they reveal the function of that appliance, exactly what it is for and how it works, and if there are any flaws, any defects in it, and they are honest. Burika lahuma. They will gain barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ كَذَبَ وَكَتَمَ. But if they lie and they conceal the flaws, defects and faults, مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. Allah, Rasulullah says that there'll be no barakat whatsoever. It'll be wiped out of the transaction. Wiped out completely. And therefore, Nabi Kareem said, التَّاجِرُ الصَّدُوقُ. See the word again, الصَّدُوقُ. We are talking about الصِّدْق. Honesty, truthfulness. At-tajiru as-saduq, al-amin. That trader who is honest, he's upright, he speaks the truth, he's trustworthy. His position on the day of qiyamah ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada. He will be in the assembly of the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. With the siddiqeen, those who are absolutely honest. And with the martyrs. Sometimes a person thinks, and it happens, that if I'm going to speak the truth now in this situation, then I'm going to incur some loss. So I'd rather speak the truth, I'd rather speak the lies and not incur the loss. This thought comes to a person. Shaitan whispers this into the person. They see, if you are going to speak the truth here, then that person is not going to buy that goods. You're going to incur some loss. So he is tempted to speak the lie. The ayat I quoted and the whole incident, a very long incident in the books of hadith. And if you go into the books of seerah, you will see the story of Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm just going to give you the gist of it. And to explain the main point of honesty and truthfulness. And that is the thing that was the most integral part of this entire incident, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then praised in the Quran and said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, till the day of Qiyamah, all the believers, Fear Allah and be with those who are honest, upright, and true and loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are true to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are true to their fellow believers. They are true to society and human beings at large. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Murara radiallahu ta'ala, Hilal radiallahu ta'ala, three sahaba, genuine sahaba. They did not participate in the expedition of Tabuk. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had exhorted the sahaba. He told the sahaba, we are leaving certain day, we are going to Tabuk, make arrangements, make preparations. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I had all the wealth and I had all the strength to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each morning I came out to do some preparation. I thought to myself, I've got enough time, I've got the strength, I've got horses, I've got everything. I'll make preparation and I will join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he procrastinated, he delayed, and came the time when he heard Rasulullah sallam has now departed. Sahaba have left Medina. So he says, okay, I will try and catch up with them. I'll make some quick preparation, I'll catch up with them. But lo and behold, the time never came. Then very next thing he finds, after a few days, that Rasulullah is now returning from Tabuk. What answer is he going to give? What excuse to Rasulullah? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu comes to the masjid, perform two rakat salat, sahaba come, the munafiqeen come and present themselves first. And Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that when Rasulullah left, the only people I could see around were people who were genuine munafiqeen, hypocrites. They did not go. I was feeling so uncomfortable. He says, now what excuse am I going to give? So he says, I began to think of some type of excuse and some lie. But he says, no. When he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes salam, Nabi Kareem looks at him. And brothers, whilst Rasulullah was there in Tabuk, suddenly he asked, Aina Ka'b? Where's Ka'b? So now, he makes salam. Rasulullah replies, and he smiles, but the smile is not a full smile. There is some type of displeasure in that smile of Rasulullah. Ka'b, what happened? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'll be honest to you. Allah has given me the power of speech, and I'm a very eloquent person. I can, if it was somebody else beside you, I would have very easily made some excuse. But I can never speak lies to you. You're the Nabi of Allah. I've got no valid excuse. Ka'b, stand up until Allah decides regarding you. And then he finds that Murara and Hilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum are also in the same boat as him. People came up to him, Ka'b, don't be a fool. Come on, make some excuse. And the Nabi of Allah will make istighfar on your behalf. So what are you worried about? People began to taunt him. He says, no, I will not lie to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Rasulullah sallam was commanded by Allah to tell the sahaba, now you have to boycott these three sahaba. No interaction with them, no talking to them also. And this is mentioned in the Quran. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ قُلِّفُوا. Regarding these three peoples whose tawbah was postponed. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَعُبَتْ. Despite the vastness of Medina Munawwara, the wide gullies, the wide roads, they say everything tightened upon them. Everything was constrained and constricted. People turned their face the other way, nobody talking to them. He says, whilst all this is happening, suddenly the enemy, the king of Ghassan, sends a letter with a person. And this person comes and asks for Ka'b and he gives me the letter. And he says, I heard that your companion, meaning Rasulullah, has estranged you. He's abandoned you. He's being harsh and cruel to you. Come over to our side. We'll give you all the riches of the world. What a test. He says, I took this letter and I threw it in the fire immediately. I said, this is another test from Allah. But because of his honesty, after 50 days, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has forgiven them. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهِ. Allah completely forgave these three sahaba. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a long story how people give him the glad tidings, and finally he wants to hear the good news from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi Kareem sees him, his face is brightened. He's so happy that his sahabi is pardoned. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, inna min tawbati, from my tawbah now, I make a pledge to you that as long as I will have life and I will be living in this world, I will never speak a lie. And he says, from that time when I said this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tested me on various occasions to see whether I'm going to speak the truth or lie. He says, every time I spoke the truth. And he says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me to always speak the truth till my very dying moments. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions, that person who speaks the truth and he does not breach any trust, he is not disloyal, and he fulfills a promise that he has made, he honors a promise that he has made, then he will receive three things from people. People will automatically begin to love such a person. You're honest, you're upright, you fulfill your promise, and you take care of amanat and things that you entrusted with. You do not breach those trusts, you are not disloyal, you don't make khiyana, but you are ameen. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says that the people will begin to love him, they will praise him, and they will assist him in time of need. Three things. They will love him, they will praise him, and they will assist him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. We say Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He got this title of the most truthful. How? Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before Islam, he was known amongst the people. Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. The one who is most honest, the one who is most truthful. The disbelievers even knew the honesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met for Mi'raj, we know the entire incident, and when he comes back and he tells the Quraysh of Makkah, I went to Baitul Maqdis and I went to the seven heavens, they were not worried about the seven skies. You went to Baitul Maqdis in one night and you returned before dawn. This is a big joke. Hey, they thought, let us seize this opportunity. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu always believes whatever he says. Let us call him. Abu Bakr, this is what your friend says. He went to Baitul Maqdis, so far away from Makkah and Medina. And he says he went in this short space of time in one night and he returned before dawn. Do you believe him? He says, of course, I believe even more beyond that. I believe that revelation and wahi come from the skies to my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that he received the title Al-Siddiq, the one who is most true. Respected brothers and elders, there were so many more things I would desire to share with you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat of being honest and not being amongst those who indulge in fraud, who sign fraudulent documents, who put innocent people into severe predicaments. We are Muslims. We are Muslims. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu alayhi wa sallam became Amir, and he ascended the minbar, he sat one step lower than where Rasulullah would sit. And he gave a beautiful khutbah, in which he said, oh people, I am the most unworthy person of this, of being a khalif. He says, in ahsantu fa'inuni, if I do good, help me. Wa in asatu, if I do evil, then don't follow me. Qawimuni, make me right. And then he says, as-sidqu amana, wal-kadhibu khiyana. These are the two words, two phrases. He says, sidq, to be truthful, is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lying, this is being disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How often a girl or a boy proposes for a girl and we give false information. Sometimes even the age is not right. And we don't reveal the truth. And we make so many promises that you will be living separately, you will have this, you will have that comfort, and we promise all those things. Nikah takes place, everything. And none of those things are honored. It leads to talaq, it leads to serious problems. So in our business dealings, in our muasharat, in our social dealings, in our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah, let us be honest, upright Muslims. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.